This is Life Change Weekend. Welcome to Dino Padron Ministries interview program, which highlights the life-changing message of Jesus Christ in action. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 states, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And now, to introduce his guest, here's Dr. Dino Padron.
I'm delighted you're listening in to Life Change Weekend. It's great having you listen, and we're looking forward to a wonderful day today. Life Change Today is our Bible study Monday through Friday, and of course on the weekends we have Life Change Weekend. I have on today a dear friend of mine. For 25 years I had the privilege of pastoring the Open Door Church of Chambersburg, a wonderful ministry, and I'm so delighted when my dear friends, Pastor Mike Sanders, is the pastor there. And God has greatly used his ministry there and many other places as well. And I talked to Mike about coming on. Mike has done radio and television, very familiar with these mediums. And we talked about what would you feel burdened to talk about, and he has chosen the subject of evangelism. You know, I think myself that one of the most important things today is for us to really understand that we need to begin to evangelize, perhaps like we haven't been evangelizing. Our newsletter that we sent out just recently, I had one of our good friends, your friend and my friend, Mike Rudy Holland, write an article, three articles, in fact, on the subject of evangelism. So, Mike, welcome to the program. Great to have you on today, my friend.
Well, thank you, Dr. Padron, for allowing me to come on. It's a privilege and honor to be able to not only be with you, but to speak on this particular topic.
Yeah, evangelism is, I know it's one of your heartbeats. So when we talk about evangelism, Mike, what is evangelism? What are we talking about here?
Well, I think in the simplest terms, it's simply just presenting the gospel. And when I talk about the gospel, I'm talking about the death, burial, and resurrection. I think sometimes we try to complicate evangelism, but really what we want to understand is that our role and responsibility as believers is just to tell people and share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And that is really the Great Commission, isn't it, Pastor? I mean, we've been told that over and over again to evangelize. So years ago, when you and I began in the ministry, I was a little before you because I'm older, but there's ways to evangelize, but there's changes, haven't there been, since especially COVID-19. How has evangelism changed during COVID-19?
I think it's important for Christians to understand that the principle of evangelism, that Great Commission that's been given to us, is something that is, you know, forever. I mean, we're called to do this, but the how to do that, the methodologies, if you will, they're going to change from not only culture to culture, but from times and seasons and different time periods that we live in. And when we think about how things are going on in our world today, I think one of the best ways that we can evangelize is really initiating spiritual conversations with people. When we look at the life of Christ in the gospel, we see that he's always igniting people's hearts about the gospel and understanding of who God is and his redemptive work through a series of questions. And I think we live in times where, you know, a lot of people aren't starting out with some basic knowledge of the Bible. So it really takes us to kind of enter into a spiritual conversation with people that could last for sometimes months or maybe even years, but just kind of helping them gently see what Christ has done for us and our great need for salvation, and that we are called to respond to that message.
So as you say that, I think, for example, the story of the woman at the well in John 4, it's fascinating how she eventually came to the Lord of all people. When Jesus went to Samaria, he would choose her to present himself to with the truth. I think of the blind man there in John chapter 9. There are all kinds of questions in there. So what kind of questions do you think we should be asking if I'm sitting on an airplane next to somebody, or if I'm talking to somebody at the grocery store? What kind of questions should we be looking at?
Well, I always like to start with people's passion and interest, you know, because that's what they relate to most. And people have different passions and interests and things that they like to enjoy. So if I'm interacting with someone and I'm just kind of finding out a little bit about their family and the things that they enjoy doing and maybe their career, then I want to try to relate the gospel to that. So if I was to speak to someone maybe who enjoyed athletics, I would want to share things relating to that, ask questions about that, and help build that connection with them. You know, when I was pastoring in Indiana, before I became the pastor of the Open Door Church, I would meet with a man every Monday evening, and we would go to McDonald's, of all places, and we would have a McFlurry. I don't even know if they even offer McFlurries anymore. You know, he was a military background, and he had been in the first Iraq war, and he had seen a lot of carnage and a lot of things that were very difficult for him to process. But I took that and used it as a way to kind of first get him to open up through a series of questions that related to what he was experiencing and how it made him feel and what he thought about it. And then I always like to try to transition with people to find out, do they have any kind of a religious background? Do they have a church background? And how do they see, you know, God in all of that they're experiencing and dealing with in life? You know, I read the other day that 43% of millennials don't even believe or care to believe about God. So the traditional methods of just, I'm going to shove the Bible down you, and you need to get on your knees right now and repent and give your life to God, I just don't think are going to be very effective in helping people to respond. So I think those questions help us. And I think you just kind of have to be led by the Spirit, and you have to kind of have a few questions that are general, that are open-ended, and to begin those conversations.
Hmm. Yeah, I was talking, Mike, a few days ago with a friend of ours, a mutual friend, actually, not in the ministry, a good businessman, and he mentioned the idea of, are we attractive? Do people sense there's something that we have, something maybe in our life, and something that maybe they would desire? And it isn't, and what you said is so true, it's not jamming something down someone's throat, but it's being attractive enough. Do you see it? Is that how you see it as well?
Yeah, I think that that's exactly what the Apostle Peter was talking about when he said, hey, the hope, when people see the hope that is within you, then they're going to begin to inquire, why do you have this hope? And that is our opportunity. And what is so unique about the times that we live in is that the distinction of faith in Christ stands out more than ever. And so it's exciting that, you know, that we can kind of have that opportunity, because before, you know, it was kind of culturally accepted to be religious and to go to church or to be active in a church. But now we have this great opportunity that we can see that distinction and people can understand that difference.
Mm-hmm. So connection begins with conversation, then talk about something religious with them. Are there other points of connection you recommend?
Well, I think that as we continue to have conversations with them, the main thing that we've got to remember, that the most powerful tool we have is the Bible, the Word of God. So I would encourage, in preparing myself to share these gospel truths, that I have a clear understanding of the Scriptures, and that I understand and can walk people through the basic tenets of the gospel message. And that's only going to be found in the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us that the Word of God itself is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, yes, we can be creative and we can be innovative in our expressions of faith. And we can try to do what we can to try to attract people to the gospel. But the bottom line is, ultimately, only the Word of God, and through the power of the Spirit of God, is going to transform lives.
So what are those principles in the Bible? I know that you know them well, and when you present the gospel to somebody, you know, there's listeners, I'm sure, that probably are saying, well, I'd like to tell people what they need to hear. What is it you feel that it is they need to hear in order to be at a place in their life where they can trust Christ if they desire?
Well, it kind of takes me back to a friend that you and I both have who's now in heaven. That's Pastor Art Brown. Mm. And, you know, he was a great soul winner. And he would always tell me, now, Pastor Mike, we got to get them lost before we can ever get them saved.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Buddy. That's hitting the nail on the head.
And so, yes. And, you know, that's really the hardest obstacle, I think, especially in a culture that doesn't think that they're that bad and that they feel like they're morally good. So I think the first thing is I've really got to drive home that principle that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I try to use different illustrations to help people understand that. I ask them to think about the most moral person on the world, or maybe the most religious person. Sometimes they'll say Mother Teresa, or they'll say Billy Graham, different people like that. And I tell them that even they recognized that they were sinners. And here we feel like they're at the height of humanity, but yet they understood that there was still a need in their hearts to address their sinful nature. And it doesn't matter who we are, we come into this world sinful. So I think that's really the beginning. And that can be a while. That conversation can take some time, because sometimes it's hard for people to really grasp that. And so there may be several questions that you're asking, and there may be several debates, and not argumentative, but just, you know, trying to help them to see the truth. But the second thing is that you've got to help them understand that God had, you know, the scripture says in Romans 5:8 that God proved his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the necessity of the cross, and why was Christ only qualified to go to the cross on our behalf, and how he did what great scholars call the great exchange of giving us his righteousness and taking on our unrighteousness. And then I think that you have to start helping them to understand that we activate all this and apply it to our life by calling upon the name of the Lord. And, you know, we have a lot of different words the scripture uses, people use words like repent and believe and turn around and change directions. All that is a part of sharing the gospel, that people are basically turning away from their own selves and embracing Christ as their Savior. And the Bible gives us a promise that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Mike, and thank you for sharing it like that. It's a marvelous message when we think of the gospel and what the gospel can do for all of us. You're listening in to Life Change Today, and this is Dino Padrone chatting with you, and I'm delighted to have my dear friend, Pastor Mike Sanders, on. Pastor Mike is pastoring the church. I pastored for 25 years, and I want you to know I am thrilled with him and his ministry and his beautiful family that is there. They have grandchildren. How many grandchildren do you have now? Is it three?
Well, we've made it up to three, yes.
Yeah, very good. Well, that's wonderful. You are really doing well in that department, let me tell you. It's very, very exciting, very exciting. Our gift offer today is what we've been offering last week as well. It's the book called The Path. It's a book that tells the story of Ruth leaving Moab and going into Bethlehem. It's a book I wrote several years ago, and it's written in such a way that you can use it for Bible studies. There's questions at the end of each chapter. There are discussion questions. You can use it for Sunday school. You can use it for small groups. Many pastors use this as background material. The presence of God in our journey puts a new light on the path. Sometimes the path is strewn with debris that causes us to stumble. But stop and think, there's a providence that leads the way on our journey. And in this book, The Path, that providence actually leads to new life and hope. We find that Ruth ends up to be actually in the genealogical line that will bring about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the child Obed and all the way up to Jesus. Wonderful study, the book of Ruth. If you'd like a copy of the book, simply go to Dino Padrone Ministries, plural, DINOPEDRONE, Ministries, plural, .com, and simply get your copy. We're talking today about the subject of evangelism. And Pastor Mike, you just gave a beautiful presentation of the gospel. But why is evangelism so important? Is that just a gift certain people have, but Or is it that we all have some responsibility here? And why is it so important?
Well, I think it's the most important thing in the entire world. No matter what's going on in this world politically, or what might be even happening in our own personal lives, nothing is more important than helping people to experience the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And the very purpose that Jesus came to this earth was to seek and to save those who are lost. And I feel like we have to have that sense of purpose every day in our life, that every person we come in contact with, that God is opening a door for us to be a blessing, to open a door of maybe planting a seed or maybe just having a conversation, and that it can ultimately lead to this person on a journey of true faith in Jesus Christ. And when we consider the fact that every person in this world is either going to go to heaven or hell, that's just the bottom line. And you and I have that opportunity to be able to make sure that they know and understand the gospel, and that they have just a chance to be able to recognize that, hey, I don't have to go down this destructive path, but I can truly have a real relationship with God Almighty, the creator of the world, and I can know him intimately, and he will more than satisfy all my heart's needs. And so this really has to be a priority. And I think when we're living in these times of what I call kind of post-COVID-19, where people are trying to move past this pandemic, that it's even, the message is even more critical than it's ever been. And to miss out on that, I think, is really a Christian missing out on their responsibility that we have been given by Christ.
Yeah, well said. I was talking to a dear friend, a mutual friend of you and I, Rudy Howland, just recently, and he told the story. He was in a church, and they had a testimony meeting, I think Sunday afternoon, if I remember correctly. But a woman got up, and she shared that she saw a friend, and she decided that she would really invest her life into that friend who needed a ride, I guess, home from work every day, and sometimes to work. And so she began this friendship with her that eventually led her one day to say, today's the day I give her the plan of salvation. She did. And the woman very quickly accepted Christ because of the relationship built. Then he said there's another one in the church that gave a testimony. The man had just come to the church, and he said there was something attractive about the church that drew him. And within the first 2 weeks, he came to Christ. And as you said earlier, Pastor, that many people take time in coming to Christ. And some come very, very quickly, but it's always the Holy Spirit pulling them, isn't it? And talk a little bit about that, how God the Holy Spirit works through this.
Elmer Towns said that it takes about 7 presentations of the gospel for someone to fully grasp it. But ultimately, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so you and I are constantly sharing Christ. We're constantly telling people the gospel message. But it's the Spirit of God that works with a willing heart. And the Spirit of God convicts us and convinces us. The scripture teaches that very clearly in John chapter 14 as well as John chapter 16. And we can't do anything without Christ, and especially when it comes to our witnessing and evangelism. We must be totally dependent. And I think it's important for us to recognize that we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that is a total, complete yieldedness to Christ. And just as we are presenting the gospel, you know, we're kind of like Nehemiah. He was working, but he was shooting up arrows of prayers while he was working. And many times when I am sharing the gospel with others, I'm just kind of in my heart also shooting up prayers and saying, Lord, help me to say it the right way. Or I also pray, Lord, really open their hearts and help them to see and understand what I'm sharing. I have to be honest, there have been times I have fumbled the ball. And I thought I gave the worst presentation. And this person just, you know, was just so ready to be saved. They're just weeping and calling out to God and ready to be saved. And I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And I think it's just really a work of the Spirit.
Yeah, it's the Word of God and the Spirit, isn't it? Now, help us with this. You know, I've seen people that when they come to the Lord, it's a very outwardly emotional experience.
Yeah.
I remember a lady that I led to Christ, very, very emotional outwardly, and it was a very moving thing for me to see her like that, and I mean in a positive way. Her husband also gave himself to Christ, but very calmly, and there was really almost no outward emotion, and her immediate declaration was, well, he's just not saved. He hasn't got it yet. And after months and even years, it was obvious he came to Christ that night, and she even was convinced over a period of time. But tell us, why don't people get more excited, and why do people get so excited when they come to Christ?
Well, we have to remember the Bible says it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. So it's not any particular emotional expression that brings somebody to true salvation. And I think people have different personalities. And I think also that for some, it's a very personal decision. And so they're not as expressive in the way that they respond to the gospel. But that doesn't matter, because whether they are quiet and meek, or you're just overwhelmed with tears and just, you know, doing backflips, if you will, in their response to the gospel, the main thing is that with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And if their heart is in the right place, then we can remember that they have truly believed, they have this promise that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We consider the thief on the cross. You know, he didn't even pray the right prayer. He just said, Lord, remember me. But see, God looked into his heart beyond the words, and he really maybe didn't fully understand all that Christ was doing for him on that cross. But he just said, Lord, remember me. And God looked at that heart, and he knew that this man was a man of faith, and he believed, and therefore he would be accounted for righteousness because of his faith. Hmm.
You said something a little while ago about this matter of sin, that we're sinners, and that's the bottom line with all this to begin with. I remember B.R. Lakin, the great evangelist that you well remember out from Cato Tabernacle back in the 40s. His church had 10,000 people back in those days where he would preach. But he asked me one time when he was preaching at our church, and we were out to lunch, he said, what's the most important doctrine in the Christian faith? And Mike, I mentioned a lot of stuff, and I was wrong on every one, according to him. And finally, he said, it's the doctrine of sin. And then he explained to me why, and that's what you did just a few minutes ago. And that's true. We must understand the issue of sin. And I remember as a child, when my mother led me to Christ, the thing that she kept emphasizing into my life was sin. And even as a child, I this was years ago, but I remember, well, I can't be that bad. I'm only 7 years old. But she kept emphasizing sin. When you came to Christ, was there something that really struck in your heart that you said, this is really what I need?
Yeah, I was, you know, a young boy, rode a bus to Sunday school, and they put me on the front row there. I remember that first Sunday, my brother and sister were with me, and people say, what were you doing on the front row? And I said, we didn't know any better. I mean, the deacons put us up on the front row, and the preacher was ranting and raving, and honestly, I can't hardly remember a word he said, but I do remember him teaching us that we were sinners and that we were in need of a Savior. And that we could correct this by coming to Christ today. And so I was thinking in my head, I remember so vividly, that if he would stop preaching, I could get saved and get my sins forgiven. You know, I thought I had to wait for the invitation. And so, buddy, as soon as he got done, I darted down there, and a faithful man of God led me through the Romans Road and taught me that I was a sinner, and how much Christ loved me. And that if I would just repent and believe in him, that I could have eternal life. And honestly, I mean, I was very sincere, but there wasn't a lot of emotion, but I just wanted to get that settled in my heart and make sure that that was taken care of. But I had never heard that message before in my life. And my heart was still tender. And, you know, I wasn't like a drug addict, and I wasn't out there doing a lot of crazy things. I was just this, you know, 12-year-old boy who was kind of just living selfishly, doing whatever he wanted. And then he got invited to Sunday school, and he heard the message, and it was so impactful upon me that I was drawn by the Spirit to just give my life fully to Christ.
That's it.
You know, you were talking about earlier about the doctrine of sin. And I think that it's important that we do continue to teach this in our churches and to our families and our children and grandchildren, because Time Magazine a few years ago came out with an article, said that this is the most esteemed generation ever, meaning that this generation has more self-esteem than any other generation that has grown up in America. And the reason is because, I mean, if you show up, they give you a trophy. If you, for just showing up, you know, you can lose a game and everybody gets a ribbon. And so we're always telling our kids, and rightly so, I'm not, you know, putting it down, but we are always telling them how wonderful they are. Well, the problem with that on the flip side is that they may never see their need for salvation. And so you can't get saved, like Pastor Art Brown used to teach us, until you first get lost. And I think that's very important what you said.
And you know, what you just said there, Mike, really hits the nail on the head. It's a great way to finish up our program. We have just a few seconds left here. Tell the people briefly about the Open Door Church, where they can find it. It's a great church, over 50 acres. It's such an exciting place. I want people to go there and visit. Just tell them briefly, because our time is almost gone here.
Yeah, well, they can go to theopendoorchurchpa.com, And I tell people all the time, I'm just laboring in the luxury of the labor of Dr. Dino Padrone. This is a beautiful campus. It's wonderful. People are being saved and people are coming to Christ. And I'm just so thankful to have the honor to serve here.
Yeah. And my favorite place to go when I travel and preach is the Open Door Church. It always is, Mike. And you're always so gracious and just great seeing your family. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. Our guest is our dear friend, Pastor Mike Sanders, who is with us of the Open Door Church of Chambersburg. He's the president of Cumberland Valley Christian School, the ministry of television and radio there. Hope worth having, reaching many, many people for the Lord. And our gift offer has been this week, The Path, which is a book that I have written on the story of Ruth and how she left Moab, went to Bethlehem, and ended up being a part of bringing through the genealogical line the Savior, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So get the book, The Path. It's an intriguing book. It's great for Bible studies, small groups, Sunday school, preachers that preach. And simply go to DinaPadroneMinistries.com. That's DinaPadroneMinistries.com. Have a blessed day. Thank you so much for listening in today to Life Change Weekend.
Life Change Weekend is a listener-supported production of Dino Padrone Ministries. To join with DPM's mission of helping individuals grow their faith, visit DinoPadroneMinistries.org. And don't miss Life Change Today, Dr. Padrone's weekday Bible study. Check local listings for details.